It's pitch black as you descend into the labyrinth-like cave system. Bat guano and what appears to be blood coats your feet, and what dim light your caster has created sheds strange shadows over the various rock formations.
Dare you continue? Are you prepared? How do you survive the depths of the Underdark?
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about a classic setting and terrain, the Underdark.
That's right. The Underdark has been in many books, many books. It has been in many games, many games. And tonight, we're doing a terrain series on the Underdark, what you can expect, some of the fun monsters and beasties that exist in the world below, and maybe some story options and potentially some themes as well.
Indeed. And if you haven't yet, hit the like and subscribe button. It helps get our show out to more people and get notified when more awesome episodes come your way.
That's right. So to begin, why are we talking about the Underdark, Matt? Like, what is interesting about the Underdark?
First off,
everything.
Yeah, it's the Underdark. Why wouldn't you want to play there?
Yeah, the Underdark has amazing range to play in a game setting, straight up. I mean, it's pretty much synonymous with Dungeons & Dragons, obviously.
Sure.
It should really be called Dungeons & Dragons and Underdark, but there's a lot more to it, and it's been, you know, in other games also.
Oh, sure. One of the things that I like about the Underdark is that it does touch on one of the key pillars, which is exploration.
And exploration's a great campaign to run, as you've so noted.
Indeed.
It's got all kinds of fun monsters,
mm-hmm.
lots of horrible elements,
sure.
magical energies, temporal rifts into the shadow plane, earth plane, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Underdark's happening for if you want to do something ridiculous or disturbing.
Sure. Let's start off with the question, what exactly is the Underdark?
That's a good question indeed. So we have gone through all of the versions, and here's what we have come up with in terms of what the Underdark is. First off, the Underdark is a vast subterranean realm, and it's either been featured or alluded to in various D&D games. So predominantly Forgotten Realms is where it's most used, but there's other games as well. It was originally coined by Douglas Niles in the Dungeoneer Survival Guide, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, second ed, guys. But really got popular with Driss Duarden.
Sure.
And the Drow of the Underdark series, right?
Absolutely.
Salvatore did a great job popularizing the Underdark in terms of that. And of course, there's plenty of other game settings that use the term Underdark or have some kind of version of the Underdark as well.
I think in Eberron, it's just called Eberron.
Yeah, the world below.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Eberron is the dragon, which is the earth.
Right.
Should also be noted that this is an entire world in the world.
It is not quite, but almost the hollow world theory.
Yeah. So when we're talking about terrain, we're really just going to kind of give you a tip of the iceberg tonight, because there's a lot going on.
Absolutely. It draws a lot from kind of center of the earth sort of themes and subterranean horror. There are three sections of the Underdark.
That's correct. So we've got the Upper Dark, the Middle Dark, and the Lower Dark. Tell me a little bit about those three, Matt.
All right. The Upper Dark is the first 3 miles, and that's where you find like standard dungeon monsters, cave animals, and underground surface species.
So like dwarves.
Sure.
Goblins, stuff like that.
Yeah. Some gnomes.
And in general, when we're talking about the Upper Dark, a lot of times that is what most low-level characters would see.
Sure.
So
it's caves.
It's caves, yeah. I'm in a cave system. I'm rocking with some kobolds. Maybe I've, you know, unleashed a beholder hive or something like that because they're near the surface. But that's the first 3 miles.
Sure.
Now, below that,
you've got the Middle Dark, and that's 3 to 10 miles. And that's where most of the population of the Underdark is, right? Most of your cities and cultures are in the Middle Dark.
So we're thinking like the Darrow, the Duergar, the Drow, of course,
mm-hmm.
all the various.
The Sphere of Neblin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A little Deep Gnome action going on.
Absolutely.
I got Deep Gnome love, guys. Deep Gnome love. And then finally, we have the Lower Dark. And what is that?
That's anything over 10 miles down.
Yeah.
That's where the ridiculous, really dangerous stuff is.
Yeah. That shit is the stuff that's going to kill you. So we've got not just like Deep Spawn, but like Lithid Cities, Aboliths, some of the tentacled horrors that exist below.
Deep Dragons, Shadow Dragons.
Yeah.
Just the really bad. The bad, bad.
One thing of note also is that the Underdark does not necessarily reflect the surface world above. So you could be in a cave system and directly above could be an ocean.
Sure.
Or vice versa. You could be in a mountain range and you could be in the Underdark sea below that, which there is one.
Absolutely. At least one.
Well, we're talking about Forgotten Realms here, but on other game worlds, there might be different types of things as well.
Sure. Also, if you're in the polar ice caps, once you reach down to a certain level, the temperature just averages out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still chilly, but it is not polar ice caps chilly.
You're deep enough, you're hanging around the volcanic vents and such. You know, you might be wearing some tropical breeze shorts. You got your, you got your Hawaiian shirt on. You got a Hawaiian shirt, got a martini.
A little straw wizard's cap.
Straw wizard's cap. Yeah, I love that. There's definitely going to be a Jimmy Buffett drow in our next game.
Nice.
That'd be great, right?
With a parrot familiar.
Yeah, an Underdark parrot.
Yes.
It's got glowing eyes.
Sure.
Why not, right? Finally, maps are highly unreliable because A, the terrain changes over time.
Sure.
Either by volcanic action or collapses in caves or magic.
Yeah.
Just straight up magic. And exploration is also very meager at best.
And when you have things like delvers, they just make new highways.
Or purple worms.
Yeah.
Got new systems, lava channels. Imagine, it's crazy down there.
Yeah. Trapdoor land sharks. It'll get wild.
Trapdoor land sharks will get you every time. Come out, grab you down below the earth. Lifeblood of the earth. Let's talk a little bit about some challenges. What's going on existing in the Underdark, Matt?
Well, the Underdark is a challenge, but
yes, indeed,
just in and of itself. But let's talk about travel, right?
Okay. Travel's tough. Yeah. Talk about tough travel.
Okay. You've got some cavern systems that are fairly large and easy to navigate, but most require climbing gear or squeezing into various crevices. And at times, the ability to dig or phase through solid rock is basically necessary to continue.
Yeah, we're not talking about like easy to access passages, right?
Right.
Now, some of them, sure, you might be able to like walk into a cave,
yeah,
be like a surface cave.
Yep.
Some of them you have to squeeze and climb through or whatnot. And some of them are like this big, right? Like a centimeter or something. You have to magically turn yourself into a spaghetti noodle and move through or be able to dig really well.
Yeah. Shape change centipede.
There you go. That's how it happens. Routes are often circuitous, and you could spend weeks going several miles because you're not just going straight. You're going around and up and down.
Maybe doubling back.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're on a purple worm highway, they're not smart. They just follow food.
It's like some kind of crazy Gordian knot that you're just trying to get to. That happens, right? And on that note, sometimes you got to go down to go up. What does that mean?
Routes aren't necessarily in one direction. Right. And if you've got what basically ends up being a hill, so you've go up over the cave hill, if you will, and then go down, are you going to go straight? Are you going to dig through like a straight line to catch back up to that when you're not necessarily certain that the path doesn't turn at all? No, you either go where the cave leads you or you turn into a burrowing creature and make your own.
Yep.
Those are your options.
And as we mentioned before, you may have to spiral around on some levels. You may have to swim through something to get there. It's not all just walking and climbing, folks. You might have to literally breathe water at some point because water might go all the way up to the cave system.
Yeah.
And some of it is naturally cut by water action, too. In most games as well, and this is another fun part, teleportation is sketchy at best. That depends on your game world.
Yeah.
But we're talking Forgotten Realms here because that's the best known Underdark.
Sure. It's generally limited to short teleportation or very inaccurate long teleportation.
And from most of the books, you know, there's a game mechanic behind that because you want to actually explore the Underdark.
Sure.
If I'm writing the setting for a game, I want to actually be able to journey through the Underdark and not just have a wizard go, right? Just pop into existence. So it is explained away that you can teleport.
Yeah.
But you might end up inside stone, or you might end up way off course. And there's a lot of weird magical radiation going on down there, too.
Mm-hmm. I've always run that you can teleport out of the Underdark.
But getting in is impossible?
It's not impossible. Like you said, right, there's mechanics and stuff like that involved, but it is not as easy as getting out is far easier than getting in.
Fair enough. Let's talk a little about the terrain and the elements involved in the Underdark. What are we looking at here?
One of the things you're going to have to consider is there's not a lot of food down there. Much of the Underdark is just like sterile cave systems or desert-like conditions.
Yep. So if you're not packing a sack lunch, you might be in some bad
times.
You better go, yay. Unless you can eat minerals. There's not a lot of water in many places as well. Most cave systems are dry, which is ironic because a lot of cave systems in the real world are created by water action. But even those are often dry too.
Sure, because the water makes its way downwards.
That's right. It's not there anymore. Water could also be toxic. It might be drinkable, but it really depends on the mineral content. You might be getting some delightful salt water instead of regular water. And then how are you going to drink that? It's make it even worse.
Or caustic water, because it's soaked through so much basic material that it will actually just
dissolve you. Yeah, that's always a fun challenge for players as well.
That's a river in Mexico, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a real thing that happens.
The more you know. There's also no light.
Yeah, most of it is completely lightless.
So you better have some kind of light or dark vision.
Dark vision is great. It does, however, have its drawbacks. Like grayscale, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It also does not provide you with perfect clarity. Anytime you're searching, you're better off with a light source. Because, in D&D at least, you roll with disadvantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Air quality can be normal in large systems, or it can go to stale, which is in most cavern systems in the Underdark. But It can also be toxic.
If you're near volcanic vents, right, and they're just off-gassing terrible things, it's not like there's a breeze to carry all this stuff off.
That's right. And some of the cave systems are completely closed to the outside air. And so if there were animals that were living in there for a short time, they're going to eventually use up the oxygen.
Yep.
And you're going to have stale air or bad air or no air at all.
Another great thing or terrible thing, depending on your point of view, is the silence.
It's silent as a tomb.
Unless you are very, very, very sneaky, you're going to be heard well before you have to be worrying about people seeing you.
That's right. And that's something to consider. If you're the typical adventurer that's rolling in with your shining, glowing sword or a bunch of torches, A, it might burn out real quick because there's not a lot of oxygen in the cave system. You're going to be seen way before you see them because you're sitting inside a bright torch.
Sure.
And you're definitely going to be heard clanking in that armor.
Yep. Your hobnailed boots just clack, clack, clack.
Prepare for that, right? Additionally, the terrain is varied. As an example, adventurers can encounter any of the following: ravines to cross, caves to squeeze through, a lake or a stream, or steam from like a volcanic vent.
Sure. You can find a purple worm tunnel, a lava tube, even a giant forest of fungi if the conditions are correct for it.
Yeah, and in the Forgotten Realms, there's an entire, what's like 20 square mile fungi that's one entity that sleeps and occasionally wakes up and wrecks havoc.
I would absolutely make that a warlock patron.
A warlock patron? There you go, right there. Love that. The fungus warlock?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, sporelock. Think about that.
Indeed.
And we got another one right there. You could have a stadium-sized geode.
I love the idea of that.
An entire city that's a geode?
Well, not just, let's say it's just a naturally occurring event, right? Like, it wasn't created that way. One torch is all you need, because all the light is going to reflect off of all of the facets, and eventually you're going to have just a brilliant sphere of light that would be such an amazing change of pace after trekking through the Underdark.
Sure. Imagine just an ever-burning torch inside a city-wide geode.
Sure.
Or think of like maybe the geode itself is condensing magical energy, and you've got like a wizard group that collects there because it amplifies their power. A lot of fun stuff. What we're saying is that anything is possible down there in terms of terrain.
Also, speaking of anything being possible, magic may be a touch unpredictable down there.
Mm-hmm. Depending upon your game. Again, going Forgotten Realms here. We've got
Fair's Rest. It's like a magic radiation, which many plants use for food, and it can mess up teleportation and summoning, as we mentioned.
Yeah, you might wind up inside a stone, or you might call something that's not supposed to be called. Yeah. And you could have a lot of fun, unexpected results for other spells and effects. And I would say DM discretion on this one, folks. Like, if your players are feeling a little haughty and they've decimated everything that you've thrown at them, have a little magical radiation effects, a little mutations and such, toss them their way.
Absolutely.
Finally, you have portals, particularly to the Plane of Shadow, the Plane of Earth, and the Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Those three in particular. But hey, throw a portal into anything, right?
If you're near a volcano, Plane of Fire.
Plane of Fire works
makes
great.
Perfect sense.
You're maybe down a windy tunnel, maybe Pandemonium or Carcery.
Yeah, the Screaming Wind.
And if you're, I would say definitely, if you're in Upper Dark, you could easily tie Hades or some kind of, you know, the afterlife to a cave system.
Sure.
Going ancient Greek there, that'd be kind of cool.
You could even end up in some of the heavens by way of a gnomish pantheon or a dwarven pantheon.
Oh, very true. Yeah.
Just
that would also work.
Going down doesn't mean you're not going up.
That's true. There's a lot of natural dangers in addition to the terrain. Here's a couple of examples. First off, falling is going to kill you.
Gravity still works.
Gravity sucks. And you could fall off a cliff, fall into a ravine, fall into a little oubliette.
Yeah, pit trap.
Pit trap would all, yeah, oh yeah, kobold pit traps, because you know they're down there. Troglodyte traps.
Mm-hmm.
Falling sucks. There's the usual cave dangers, Matt.
Yeah, you got falling rocks, collapses, stale air. Explosions from toxic gas, because carrying a torch is not always a wise idea.
You roll into the next cavern, happens to be venting some methane or something like that. Next thing you know, you're crispy burned.
Yep. Or just back a couple of caves.
Oh, and it just starts rocketing forward?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
It literally just launches you like a cannon.
Yeah, you need a couple of canaries. Fly ahead. Water is cold in most cave systems. Like hypothermia cold, and it's got to go somewhere, not necessarily where there's air. So you could get in a stream, like maybe wading into a river, you're going to get some hypothermia, but you might also get sucked in by like an undertow and sucked under like a underwater tube and
yep.
stuck there and die.
Into that great underwater sea, right? What if there's not an air bubble at the top? What if it is just a giant cave filled with water?
Better breathe some water.
Yep.
We've talked about lava and volcanism and so forth.
Sure.
It's hot. That's all I got to know. Hell is hot, right?
Yeah.
It's hell down there. Now, in addition to lava and volcanism and such, what's even more dangerous than that? Of course.
Flora and fauna.
Yeah.
You got lots of poisonous things, whether it's fungi, giant spiders, scorpions.
Cave frogs,
sure.
Giant cave toads, giant ice cave toads, Mr. Toad, Slod.
Yes.
Just toads are happening.
I got you. I'm aware. You got lots of dangerous creatures. Also, food is scarce and generally centered around cave oases. And that attracts creatures because food attracts food.
Yeah. And if there's nothing for miles around or in multiple cave systems and there's some place where food is growing, you're going to have lots of predators.
Mm-hmm.
DMs, ask yourself, why is there an oasis in this particular cavern? Or cavern system. Is it runoff from the surface? Maybe like sludge or something, or just, you know, like just dirt, right? Feeding the fungi.
A small swamp drain.
Swamp maybe is directly above. That'd be a great way to do it, right? Is there a nearby civilization that's maybe dumping some garbage? Especially in the upper dark?
Yeah, the great trash heap.
The great trash heap. Magical energy, as we mentioned, from the emanations in the ground. Could be anything.
Yep.
Could even be portal to the plane of water or portal to the plane of positive energy, causing life to bloom.
Sure. There's also the lovely inhabitants of the Underdark.
Definitely natural dangers right there. All manner of creatures, and we've got a list of them shortly as well.
Yep. And temperature. Just temperature's a killer down there. It's either cool enough that you're going to get hypothermia or you're going to get near enough to a volcanic region to have to worry about heat stroke.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of temperate zones in the Underdark.
Got to learn some magic or start stripping or prepare for cold weather gear, whichever it is. Speaking of weather, how's the weather down there, Matt?
Well, it pretty much varies by depth and proximity to volcanic activity.
So it starts off pretty chilly and damp.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're chilly and dry, either or. And then as you go down further into the earth, it starts getting warmer and warmer.
Right.
Now, obviously, if you're near, and this is the fun part because magic exists, you could be near literally a planar portal to ice and it could be cold.
Sure.
Or maybe you're in some of the dark realms where the Shadowfell creeps in and that'll freeze you to death as well.
You could also be near a portal to the plane of fire and it's just spewing out a giant flamethrower.
And it's getting really hot.
If you get at the right distance, you're finally comfortable.
That's where you have the drow with the straw hat and the...
And the cave parrot.
Yeah, the cave parrot, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's how it works. Weather is very limited because there's not clouds or anything like that. But there are oceans and seas in the Underdark. So potentially you could have maybe some mild cloud formations if the cavern system is big enough to accommodate for that. And I think that you should.
Absolutely.
Fun. Like you can imagine rolling into like an Underdark sea. Maybe there's a Kuotoan civilization that lurk beneath the depths, but maybe they've got like a couple of piers where there's some land in that cave, like a giant cave, right? A couple miles, right? And there's nothing but fog and mist that roll in as you're kind of poling along on this raft. At any point in time, some unknown horror just reaches out with a black tentacle, grabs you, drags you down.
Some ungodly creature from the depths.
Yeah, some kind of chthonic horror.
Oh, see, my brain went a little larger than that. I was thinking like an actual subterranean sea or ocean, like miles on miles on miles.
And in that case, it would be the same as a sea. Might even have tides and stuff.
It's true. But also, if you've got a couple of volcanic events in certain places, you'll have currents as the warm water moves and the cold water moves to replace it.
There you go. That sounds like a lot of fun too. All of this comes down to, it's a dangerous place. How are we going to survive in this place, Matt?
Gear up. That's step one. You've got to have a plan for mining, climbing, swimming, desert conditions, and cold conditions.
Yeah. You got to be prepared for anything. So you got to be a little bit of MacGyver because it's not like you can go down to a Magic Mart or even a general store when you're 5 miles deep in the mix.
Yeah. You can always teleport out and then hike back.
Yeah. Or, well, I mean, if you can teleport out, right?
Yeah.
Teleportation might be bonkers. Maybe you don't have that spell memorized. Maybe the wizard is dead.
That's true.
Got gigged by the Kuotoan, dragged under, sacrificed.
Delicious.
Delicious. Stock up on food and water, speaking of deliciousness.
Indeed.
Got to have that. Again, there's not a general store around, so unless you want to, you know, bargain with the natives, and you might be able to get in on some of that action, but you might not. Maybe
right.
The drow don't like the fact you want to trade with them. Maybe they just want to kill you. Could happen.
Absolutely. And depending on your setting, is how it usually happens. One of the things you have to consider is sight and sound. How are you going to see? And how will you be quiet?
Yep, because stealth means a lot in the Underdark. It means the difference between getting killed, stalking something, or getting by it.
Yep.
You don't want to necessarily fight everything that comes across your way. Have a guide if you can. Maybe learn a little undercommon.
Also, have a backup plan and a way out.
And finally, trust no one. Because if they're in the Underdark too, that's a little suspicious.
That's true.
What are they hanging out there for?
Why would anybody come here?
Yeah, it's not a nice place to live, right? Speaking of trusting no one, we have a...
question of the week.
All right. So is it Underdark related, Matt?
It is, in fact.
Oh, cool.
There are a lot of wizards and magic users in the Underdark.
It's true.
But there aren't very many Underdark style familiars.
Yeah, you're pretty only limited to a bat.
Yep. If you were going into the Underdark, what type of familiar would you have?
I would suggest a burrowing creature of some sort. And so, now it has to be a natural animal, right?
It does.
Because it's a spirit that takes that form.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, given my style and such, a naked mole rat.
Yep. 100%. I knew where you were at with that.
I call him Pinky. Just kind of sits there. He's got a big buck teeth.
I have an idea. I'm not actually sure what the rules are on it. I just want a cave cricket.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, man.
Just kind of chilling, playing a little delightful tune. Oh. Cave crickets would be neat. I think that would be fun. I think monstrous vermin, just regular vermin in general, would be great familiars. Like, especially for like drow spiders.
Yep.
I mean,
obviously.
They worship spiders. Centipedes would be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're like an insect species or something, you play a big roach as this familiar. That would be horrible for me. I wouldn't do that. Me and Mr. Roach do not get along.
But nobody'd be able to kill it.
It'd be unkilled. That's the only thing. You just can't kill the damn thing.
Familiar.
Yeah. It's got double hit points than any other familiar. It can survive without its head. It's immune to Vorpal weapons.
It breeds more familiars even after it's been killed.
Oh, God. It's awful. Yeah. Well, there you go. What I'm curious about is what your familiar would be. Hit us up at Goblin's Corner on Twitter, or, of course, you can find us on all the things, or comment below if you're watching the YouTube show.
Indeed.
Now, speaking of critters.
Indeed. There's a lot of unique creatures in the Underdark.
Like what, Matt?
Well, in the Upper Dark, you've got some relatively standard things like cave bears or bats. There are Wroth.
Yeah, which are a Wroth. I can't remember how they're pronounced, but they're basically Underdark cows.
Yeah, and then you've got your badgers, your digging animals like naked mole rats. Most are limited to the upper dark, but some DMs feel free to add them. Like, if there's a reason for them to be lower.
Like the Underdark cave parrots?
Yes, like the Underdark cave parrots.
Which we are definitely adding now to the game.
I think they actually give off very minor colors to dark vision, right? Because parrots are very bright.
I think that would be great, or at least patterns in dark vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. But they don't eat crackers. What do they eat? They eat cave crickets.
They probably eat cave crickets.
That's what they eat. There you go. So you could have any type of mammal down there or any type of like normal cave animal, and they could be food sources too. So maybe even though they exist in the natural world above the surface, there's nothing to say that a species like the dwarves or the drow or illithids or whatnot drug them down at some point in the past.
Yeah.
Because of magic, anything's possible.
Sure.
So think about that. Reptiles exist. You have cave lizards or giant, dire cave lizards, riding cave lizards, and so forth.
Yeah. Giant, dire, naked mole rat.
That could definitely be. I could see a mole rat, like they fatten up a dire mole rat and make it into like a beefsteak. It could be like a food source animal.
Sure. Oh, I was thinking as like
a riding mole rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be kind of fun too. Any type of dinosaur would fit in that as well. Maybe not pterodon, but I could see
no Quetzalcoatlus.
Flying creatures might have a hard time, but you could see something like a velociraptor.
Absolutely.
You imagine you're trying to get through this like winding corridor or passage, and this angled velociraptor head just kind of comes up and bites off your arm. That'd be fun. Not for you,
no.
But great for the DM. So think about some reptiles. We've of course mentioned Mr. Toad.
Sure.
So any type of amphibians would also be fun.
And if you've got enough water for amphibians, you've got enough water for fish.
So anything in the ocean or river system could potentially be an Underdark animal.
And you should definitely lean into the bioluminescence and things like that.
Oh, I get some like crazy angular fish looking things.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? There's all kinds of horrors down there. What about birds?
Well, I mean, we already know about the famous Underdark parrot.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you know, the cult of the Jimmy Buffett from the drow.
Indeed. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
You could also have flightless birds.
I'm just thinking of like what a kiwi that is capable of surviving in the Underdark would be like.
Oh, man, like an Underdark kiwi?
Yeah.
Don't they have the little pointed beaks?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine it grown to a medium or large size creature, and it just stabs people. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Again, not for the player characters, but hey, that's how it is.
Cassowaries would
make
great Underdark birds.
They would. Insects of all types and stripes, monstrous or normal, would definitely exist in the Underdark. You mentioned cave crickets, but what else?
Well, clearly, monstrous spiders.
Yeah. The drow worship spiders. Monstrous spiders are all over the place.
Giant centipedes. Why not?
Giant bugs in general would be fun. Just go crazy with that.
You got a lot of dungeon-style creatures in the Upper Dark. Things like oozes, slimes, jellies, and puddings.
Mm-hmm. And they would fit just fine in a cavern system as well.
Sure. Goblins and kobolds.
Particularly in the Upper Dark.
Yeah. And orcs also could be there.
Yeah. And they could be in the Middle Dark or Lower Dark too. Maybe they were dragged down into an Underdark city.
Sure.
Could happen. Rust monsters and all the other types of like dungeon-esque creatures could potentially exist in the Upper, Middle, or Lower Dark.
Mimics.
Mimics would definitely, they could exist anywhere, right? Yep. I would say, go through the typical dungeon creatures that you would find. Find a reason to put them someplace.
Absolutely.
And ask yourself, why are they there? Finally, we have Underdark specific monsters.
I can think of a few. You've got what? Aboleth.
Mm-hmm.
Beholders, obviously.
Chitons, which are the spider creatures.
Oh, and Ettercaps with those as well. The other spider creatures.
The other spider creature, yes. Cloakers are always a fun thing to add to the Underdark.
If your game is into the Lovecraftian horror type vibe, Illithids are a great way to go.
Yeah, ropers and hook horrors are also a delightful chthonic monster.
Sometimes you just want to drop the ceiling on people without dropping the ceiling on them, so you add some piercers in a room.
Oh, yeah. We got dragons of all types, particularly shadow dragons or deep dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're near a volcanic vent.
Yep. Red dragons.
Red dragons are great.
Or gold.
That's true.
You've got fiends of all sorts, demons and devils and Tanaroks.
Very true. Lots of kinds of fiends, especially like there are literally portals to the abyss in the Underdark. So that's where they come from, right?
Yeah. Just come roaming in.
Yeah. Some devils come rolling up. Maybe a Tanari just comes strolling along.
That's why people always picture hell as down. It's because that's where the demons come from.
There you go. And of course, undead of all types. Skeletons, liches, and otherwise.
Sure.
Feel free to come up with a horrible undead creature, throw it in the Underdark. It'll be perfectly at home there.
Let's talk a little bit about some deep cultures.
And again, we're just scratching the surface here because there is a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially for the creatures. I mean, basically go through your monster's manual. A bunch of them could fit there. But as far as the cultures go,
we've got a couple significant ones.
Right. I mean, drow is the obvious.
Drow and driders. So they've got a whole civilization. They're kind of like the 900-pound gorilla, right? They're everywhere. They're synonymous with the Underdark, particularly
right.
because of Salvatore's writings.
Sure. I mean, they have metropoli.
Yes.
So not a lot of those running around otherwise.
Now, you've also got the deep Immiscari, which are maybe lesser known, particularly in 5th edition. Those
right.
of you who play 3.5 might understand what we're talking about here. Yeah. And that's a cool, they've got an entire city under there, hidden.
Subterranean humans.
Yes.
You've got the Durgar and the Darrow. Those are the deeper dwarves.
Yeah, and the crazy dwarves.
Yeah.
You've got Fomorians and stone giants. Those are generally upper dark to middle dark.
Mm-hmm.
They could be, of course, anywhere with the right story.
And also they go where they want.
Yeah. Who's going to tell a giant what to do?
Illithids.
Now, those are generally lower dark to middle dark.
Oh, no, I was answering your question. Who tells a giant what to do? Illithids.
Yes, that is 100% true.
But also, yes. They also can have metropoli of a sort, but it's generally a hive.
Yeah, well, that's where their elder brains lie.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Kuotoans. Guess what? They're all over the place, right?
Yep, as long as there's enough water to support them, they're there.
There you go.
You've got the Myconids.
One of my favorite species as well, living in the fungi patches and such, you know, just kind of hanging out. They look like the, that's funny, you got, you know, Mellow Mushroom Pizza?
Mm-hmm.
They look like the dudes from Mellow Mushroom Pizza in my head.
Absolutely.
If you guys don't know what Mellow Mushroom Pizza is, go Google it.
Yeah. Svirfneblin.
Ah, yes, the deep gnomes. Industrious.
Yeah.
Somewhat dour. Still gnomes, though, so you know it's going to be a little crazy thrown into that.
Absolutely.
Got troglodytes, and, you know, troglodytes don't get a lot of love, probably because they stink.
A little deodorant goes a long way, I'm just saying.
Foul creatures, but foul place down there in the depths below. Orcs and Urogs.
Mm-hmm.
So Urogs being, I think, the more nastier, stronger, and more intelligent orcs. Deadlier.
Yeah, they're just more dangerous in general.
Just nastier. The domains of the powerful, and this can be not just the standard cultures that we've just talked about and very briefly, but also stuff like powerful wizards, maybe a party of mercenaries that are hiding in the Underdark.
Yeah. Liches.
Yeah. Lich wants to go someplace, wants to hang out. Lich doesn't want to just, you know, chill in a castle. He wants his own abode. So he digs down deep beneath the earth.
Yeah.
Builds himself a nice place where no one can mess with him.
Starts playing Dungeon Keeper.
He does. He plays Dungeon Keeper for real.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a great game.
Oh, I have a theory about that.
Story idea where you play Dungeon Keeper. That'd be fun, right? Any other undesirables? Maybe you got in a fight, maybe a villain lost to the paladin, got banished, ended up in the Underdark. How cool would that be? Can't get out, doesn't have teleport, can't find the guide because he walked off with his parrot someplace.
Well, he had to go get a drink.
He needed
it was 5 o'clock.
Yeah, he needed his margarita, right? And finally, the Taken. What does that mean, Matt?
It's anybody who was above ground but got taken by somebody below ground, either as food or work.
Conscripted to work away, yeah. Could be taken by the drow, could be taken by any of the other species that we just mentioned. We've got a lot of things going on in the Underdark, but there's a couple particular themes that I would say kind of exemplify the style if you're going to play as a DM. What would some of those be?
I mean, the first one is claustrophobia. There's a lot of people, a lot of real people who don't like being underground because they feel like the world is closing in.
Yeah, and you're in a small cave or you're having to get through like a pancake room where you have to crawl and it's only like a couple feet, just large enough for your head to scrape by.
Yep. I will say, if that is going to be something that you get descriptive about, check with your players.
Session 0.
That can 100% cause a panic attack in somebody who actually has claustrophobia.
Absolutely. Concepts of loneliness are also a good theme in the Underdark.
Yeah, because you can go miles and miles and miles and miles with no other living thing. The concept of just being inexorably lost, just awfully, horribly lost.
That's a great game to explore, starting literally being lost in a cave. You guys awake, you're in a cave, you don't know why, find the way out. Which way is up or down? You don't know. You don't know where you are. You don't know what depth you're at, unless you're a dwarf.
Right.
And it'd be good to play a dwarf.
Speaking of phobias like claustrophobia, nyctophobia, just being afraid of the dark and the things in it.
Are you afraid of the dark? Then why the hell did you go down to the Underdark? Literally the word dark is in the name.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you're a light cleric, right? Maybe you're afraid of the dark, but you always have light on tap, right? There's nothing to be afraid of. You've always got light on tap.
Yeah, man. I'm a cleric of a monitor. I'm just rocking it, man. I got the eternal sun.
Darkness.
And then I go down into the Underdark, and there's a cleric of Shar just hanging out going, welcome to my realm, bitch.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what happens, right? Being trapped.
Sure.
You're just trapped.
You can definitely tie that one to being lost or, as you mentioned earlier, something like an oubliette or
a cave-in.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a cave-in. You can't get to the surface. You got to go the other way.
Dun, dun.
There's your adventure right there. Good adventure starter. You start off at a cave-in collapse.
That leads to our next one, the theme of exploration. Well, you didn't intend to keep going, but now you're going to.
Look at all the wonderful world you have. You have a forest of fungi that's slowly dissolving you.
Mm.
Or a volcanic vent with a red dragon next to it. That red dragon's hanging out with the drow. Drow's got a martini and an Underdark parrot about to breathe fire on you. That's what happens. The parrot will breathe fire.
Sure.
Not the red dragon. Speaking of breathing fire.
Hidden dangers and mystery.
there's a lot of fun to play in a game where you're just uncovering mystery or the hidden dangers in a cave system. Just survival in general, right?
Yeah. What if you were hired by the king to ensure that this cave system didn't go anywhere unbecoming because he's planning on putting a settlement there?
Oh, see how far this goes down.
Yeah. Make sure there's no awful civilizations down there.
Get down there and you're like, it just keeps going. You keep killing monsters until you get down there and you're like, oh, there's a whole civilization in a world. Now I'm at the center of the earth. Speaking of things underground, underground horrors could also be a theme. Could be body horror, slasher horror, horror, chthonic horrors we mentioned before.
Yeah.
Fun thing to consider.
Speaking of horrors, for a lot of people, spiders.
Arachnophobia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of
there's a lot of phobias running around in the Underdark.
Fear of the dark, fear of caves, all kinds of different things like that. And we can also talk about like eldritch horror or whatnot. But I think a cool thing to explore in terms of like a theme for a game would be the underworld.
Sure.
Like maybe the descent into the underworld is literally a descent into a
like
cave.
A physical descent?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Absolutely. Have a little Orpheus action. What if you've been captured?
Wake up again. Now you're mining for the Duergar.
Maybe you were captured by the Dungeon Overlord to test out his security.
Tossed into a labyrinth or something like that?
Yep, absolutely.
That'd be fun. There's a labyrinth, I think, in the Forgotten Realms that the Minotaur live in as well.
And there's also a dungeon of a mad mage.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, Halaster. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's also technically the Underdark, right?
Yep.
Could escape from the Underdark. That's a great theme. And once you go down there, why wouldn't you try to escape, right? You got that fat loot. You've killed a bunch of stuff. You got to get back to the surface to sell it because, again, it's not a magic mart just hanging out.
At least one that you're allowed to go to.
Very true.
Drow City may very well have one, but how welcome are you there?
Yeah, you got to bone up on your diplomacy skills for real there. And finally,
the journey into madness.
Ah, yes. As we're going, especially in like the lower dark.
Yeah.
Going into that chthonic horror once again.
Just the weight of the world on your shoulders. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, enough to drive anyone crazy. Dare you enter the darkness?
You know, we didn't bullet point this, but we really should have said the descent into madness.
I could get behind that 100%.
We really missed that option there.
How dare us. Wow, we failed tonight then, Matt. Thank you for pointing that out.
But at least they got to hear the pun. That's the only reason I pointed it out.
There you go. Finally, we have a couple of story ideas for you as a DM to get kind of the juices flowing. Feel free to use any of these in your game. These are just a couple, but hopefully they help. A particular villain escapes into a cavern and the PCs must chase after them.
Sure.
That's it, right? What a great story start. He's gotten away. Go find him in that cave. Turns out to be a little deeper down than you thought.
The characters are drugged and wake up in blank, random Underdark City. I like that idea, but I also like the idea that they've actually been shanghaied for a pirate campaign underground.
Oh, that would be cool to sail the Underdark seas.
Yeah.
There is a Kuatoan with a tricorn hat. They call him the Admiral.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. That'd be kind of cool.
A drow with an Underdark parrot.
Of course, yeah. The martini. We've already established this. Margarita. Or he's got both. He's got a martini in one hand.
Yes.
Yeah. You're thinking how I'm thinking there. Disguised as a human, a deep dragon hires the adventurers to retrieve her stolen egg from a party of drow. Maybe you're hanging out at a bar, right?
Yeah.
Person comes up, is like, look, I need you to do a job for me. I heard you guys are good at what you do. Turns out to be a deep dragon, right?
Maybe the players discover a gnomish city which resides in the upper, middle, and lower dark.
That would be really interesting because we're talking in miles. Maybe it's a small city, small, quote unquote,
right,
from what surface dwellers can see. And as you go down, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, like a reverse.
Like conical.
Yeah. Yeah, like an iceberg.
Yeah.
A group of cloakers are gathered around a mysterious object deep within the lower dark. What are they doing? Are they summoning a lost god, or are they just kind of flapping their wings, so to speak?
I think they're learning to dance.
Learning to dance. Ah, yes.
Can you imagine a bunch of cloakers doing the tango?
I absolutely can, yes.
The players are hired to bodyguard a pilgrimage to a roper savant.
And as we've established in a previous episode, in ropers and chokers, ropers can be intelligent.
Indeed.
Well, but they can more importantly be wise.
Yes. And they usually don't communicate, but sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. A warrior seeks to learn combat from the subterranean realms. That's it, right?
Yep.
He's learned all the styles from the surface world. They go down in there and learn how those Kuotoan monks fight.
Sure. A merchant wishes to find a better route around the mountain chain by going under it. PCs are needed to either explore or to guard the miners.
Yep, simple as that. Try to get from point A to point B. Mushroom farming. A dwarven chef has started a mushroom burger business and needs gatherers to provide stock for the burgers.
Sure.
That'd be a fun low-level adventure particularly. But I could also see that as a mid to high-level adventure where they, like, I need a specific mushroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
An Elder Myconid.
Yes, an Elder Myconid. Oh, man.
Something vile lurks within a cave system, spewing up horrors which attack the surface. Players must journey to find the unnamed horror.
How cool is that? Classic trope, but a lot of fun. And finally, a gnome artificer accidentally, quote-unquote, explodes his house, creating a sinkhole into the realms below.
Sure.
Yeah, like you do.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Some terrain options, some knowledge to throw at your characters as well, a little bit of lore.
Some story options.
Some themes.
Yeah, and some creatures.
And some creatures for you to use in your campaign. Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblins Corner on Twitter. And of course, you can find us on all the social media channels.
If you think maybe we should break this up into upper, middle, and lower, let us know. And we'll try to be a bit more specific about things.
Yeah, because we've covered a lot tonight. So this is just a general overview, but we can certainly do different sections of this as well. Do you like our show? Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch.
If you could do us a favor, click the 5 stars, give us a review on iTunes and Podchaser. If you're on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button. Also hit the bell so you get notifications. It helps us get our show in front of more people. It boosts the show, and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
Just currently deep down below, hanging out with a margarita and an Underdark parrot. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks. The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staple.
D20 did our music.
And this has been a Subterranean production.
Later. Bump the boop da ba, bump the boop da ba.